Cheers Cast is part of the Fire and Water Network.
How many Judys have you dated?
Well, let's see. There was Judy Johnson, right? The tall redhead. Remember? She had freckles, great legs.
Yeah. There's Judy Patinsky.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Judy Chang. Who?
Wait a minute. How come you guys remember my love life better than I do?
Well, I think it meant more to us, Sammy.
Hello and welcome back to Cheers Cast, the podcast where everybody knows your name. I'm your host, Ryan Daly, and joining me this episode is patron of the pod and the host of Jeff and Rick Presents Unpacking the Power of Power Pack. Please welcome back Mr. Rick Heineken. What's up, Rick?
I'm going to try a little bit of word association with you, okay?
Okay, go. Shoot.
Beer.
Cheers.
Woody.
Cheers.
Lilith.
Motorcycle.
All right, let's unpack that. we'll get into that.
Listeners, bear with us. This actually relates to the episode. No, funny thing enough, I said motorcycle because it's a reference to my wife. My wife is a motorcycle driver. She has a white Victory Vegas motorcycle, and she called it a double kind of homage to the skin tone of both Lilith, the vampire character in popular fiction, mm-hmm. both Marvel Comics as well as other mythology and lore, as Lilith being a vampiric entity. My wife is big into vampires. And also, to me, as an homage to Lilith Stern and Crane, as being very pale-faced and white and sometimes referred to as ghostly, because when I was courting her, so to speak, we watched Cheers a lot back in those days, and she really liked how white Lilith was and the constant jokes about her complexion. So yeah, my wife has a white motorcycle that she refers to as Lilith, so...
Well, I want to say congratulations because literally that joke just that entire bit just popped into my head. I had nothing really prepared for it. And so I'm glad that we were able to get you off the run of Cheers and hit something else that we had to dive into.
Yeah.
Other than that, I'm doing well. I'm doing very well.
Yeah. Well, that's good. You know, that gave us something because usually in the lead up to our episodes, before we get into the discussion proper, we talk about what beer you have brought to this recording. Peeking behind the curtain for the listeners, we're recording this a little bit earlier in Rick's time zone.
I'm going to be a real disappointment to all the Norm fans out there. And George Wenton would be disappointed with me, too. 9 o'clock in the morning is not the greatest time to drink beer. That's from personal experience. So
you've got a family. Family and responsibilities. You gotta show some sense of. Anyway, folks, we are on season 7, episode 9. Send in the crane. Another name for this episode I thought of could have been Chekhov's handkerchief, but we'll come back to that one later. This one written
could also been something like "Mommy and Dad" or "Mommy and Daughter" too. So.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Written by David Lloyd, directed by James Burrows. The original air date for this one was Thursday, January 5th, 1989. This is the first Cheers episode of the calendar year 1989. Sam reconnects with Judy, an old flame that he hasn't seen in 15 years. He is thrilled to see her, and even more thrilled to see her daughter, Lori, with whom he once played, now a full-grown and very attractive woman. Sam can barely contain his desire for Lori, even as he continues to date her mother. Eventually, Sam's conscience starts to get the better of him, and he questions the ethics of his situation. When Lori stops by to talk to him privately, however, any hesitation he may have had at pursuing her evaporates. It's at this point that he sees her engagement ring and learns that she's getting married to a man who reminds her of a young Sam. Disappointed at Sam's failure to land both mother and daughter, the gang is nevertheless proud that he tried to be a scumbag. Meanwhile, Rebecca is tasked with throwing a kids' party for the company and asks Woody to play the clown. Just before the party, however, Woody is called away by his theater group to perform on stage. Rebecca gets Frasier to fill in for Woody. That is, filling in his clown costume, clown hat, clown shoes, everything except the novelty clown underwear, an omission that backfires on Frasier and Rebecca. Alrighty, what did you think about this episode, Rick?
I had to come in for this episode. I asked you to put me on this one because this is one of those episodes that has a few scenes that just always stick in my mind. Many of the scenes in here have been immortalized in the Cheers celebration episode, the 200th episode.
Yep.
And so that's part of it. But the ending punchline of this, it is one long joke episode that is leading up to that last shot.
Yeah.
And that is stuck in my head for years, just the entire setup. And I have always loved the memory of this episode. I thought it was absolutely hilarious. I still find it hilarious. I think it is a good, good, funny episode.
Mm-hmm.
No consequences whatsoever. Just a good, funny Cheers episode.
As I've mentioned a couple times now, like we're deep this season. We're deep now into when I actually, even though I was still quite young, but I remember watching these episodes in real time when they aired. I was still a kid, but I was watching them with my parents, my family, and everything. And like this episode, just the hook of seeing Kelsey Grammer dressed as the clown and doing this and how ridiculous and uncomfortable he looked at first, which we'll come to when we get to my home run. But yeah, the whole punchline and everything like that. And you're right, like cut bits from this in that 200th episode. Yeah, this was really, really good. Kicking into it, and right away we're going back to what we've talked about before. The teaser for this episode, Frasier is doing a word association game with Woody because Woody says he doesn't really get it. So Frasier says over, Norm says under, Frasier says inside, Cliff says outside, Frasier says bottom, Woody says thermostat.
Which freezes everybody at the bar, and like, no, Frasier's going to figure this out. There's got to be something in Woody's past that's going to explain this.
Yeah, and they're even challenging. They're putting money on this. Can Frasier crack this code?
And he's trying everything. You know, you were poor, and it was always cold. The thermostat was in the basement at the bottom. They're doing all these things. Nope. And then Rebecca comes out,
and she comes to ask if he turned the heat up. Because, and she's like, it's too hot, which means that every time he turns the heat up, she has to turn the temperature down. Which wouldn't be a problem, except they put the thermostat in such an awkward place. And it's like behind the piano, and she has to bend down, showing us a wonderful view of Kirstie Alley's rear end in the skirt and everything like that with her. Yeah, it's like the framing of the shot is perfect, and everybody gets it exactly what we're talking about. And she's like, there, Woody. And Woody just apologizes. He's like, sorry, Miss Howe, with this huge grin like a kid who has been caught and everything like that. And he just kind of sheepishly walks back to the guys as they get it and they laugh.
This is one of those moments where you have to stop and think, is Woody as much of an idiot as he really pretends? This starts to blur the line between is he a genius or an idiot, and we aren't quite sure.
So savant like in his way, yeah. This was a note or something on the IMDb trivia. The thermostat in Cheers since season 6, I think, when they like had to like redeco the place and everything once Rebecca took over, the thermostat is clearly visible on the back wall next to the ship steering wheel, like the brass like steering wheel. Mm-hmm. Or something. Like you can see it always there. They had to move it just for the joke in this episode to work. They took the thermostat off that part of the wall. So once the episode proper starts, Lilith comes in mad at Frasier because Frasier was supposed to pick her up at the airport. He's like, I guess I didn't do a very good job, did I? This part is a little bit uncharacteristic, but we just breeze through it. It's happened so fast because he didn't even realize that she was in Paris. But she sits down next to him. She says she's not mad and everything. And she got him a souvenir. And she puts out this box. And as he's opening it up, she says she's tired of his pinstripe boxer shorts. And she refers to him as dull, unimaginative, and bourgeois. It's like... and he says, well, they always speak very highly of you. And then
I had to stop for a moment on this because I moved ahead a little bit in rewatching, and I was like, who's watching their son? Oh, we aren't there yet.
Oh, okay. Yeah, we're not there.
I'm like, she's gone, he's not watching the son. I mean, you would think that this would occur to him, but no, this is early enough in their relationship where, and he is at Cheers so much that, oh, I would think that this is more of a problem than it should be.
It'll, but he'll make that connection later on. Give it a few seasons. But he opens up the package and he takes out what appears to be like a leopard or tiger striped thong or something like that.
It's he nails it right off with what exactly it looks like. You got me an eye patch.
You got me an eye patch. It's very stringy, very nice. And she actually, she's like, they're French underwear. They're all over Paris. I bought this one at the Louvre.
That joke flies by so fast. They don't give it any room to breathe, and you have to stop and think, wait, hang on, that's funny.
I'm imagining a kiosk next to Michelangelo's David of different underwear and thongs that you can buy.
Perfect placement for it. Perfect placement for
exactly, it. Exactly. And when she holds up, Cliff is like, yeah, those Frasier, those don't leave much to the imagination. And then he has to protect himself. Quickly says to Norm, not that I was imagining anything.
And Norm just nods.
Yeah, he's just like, that thought never entered my head, Cliff. It didn't enter yours. And then the guys are quick to encourage Frasier to put the underwear on, see how it does it. So he goes to change in the bathroom. He's like, what will I do with the old pair?
We'll save them. I'm making a memory quilt.
Gosh, the banter between these two is just so on point. And then the phone rings and Woody picks it up and he gives it to Sam. He says, you got a call from Judy, and Sam is really excited to hear from her again. He's like, yeah, of course I remember. He's like, yeah, she's nearby. He tells her to come on over. They can replay all their old memories. Then he hangs up the phone and looks at Woody very accusatory. He's like, Judy who? He's like he just played it up. It's like so brilliant, this turn. And they're like, well, how many Judys have you dated? And the guys remember Judy Johnson. They remember Judy Patinsky. They remember Judy Chang. And he's like, why do you guys remember?
And it's not even just the normal guys. It's not even just Cliff and Norm. It's other barflies jumping in.
Yeah,
and
the
giving
tertiary guys.
That is what makes it even more funny. It's like, yeah, we expect that from Cliff and Norm. But rando guy three or four, he's like, oh, and this Judy. And that's when Sam says the line.
Like, how do you guys remember my love life better than I do? And Norm is like, I think it meant more to us, Sam. And then they mentioned, Carla, I think, mentions Judy Marlowe, and he's like, oh, they had great times. He remembers the playgrounds they went to, the circuses, and the pony rides. And Lilith is very much like, Sam, how old was this Judy? And he's like, yeah, she had this little kid, this daughter, and Sam hasn't seen her in 15 years. Now, the joke here, like, will play out as the whole premise about this is that Judy is now fully grown and a stunner, a knockout, and we'll see her in a minute. But I actually did have to do some calculations at this point because of, like, what I've been thinking about for this podcast. Now, as we're in this season, 15 years ago, Sammy would have been either at the end of his baseball career or just outside of it, probably like right before he bought the bar, and a hardcore alcoholic, like at this point, like really drinking himself crazy every night. I don't necessarily think he would have been the fun uncle and good boyfriend for a recent divorcee that they kind of describe in this episode. Maybe, but that's pretty uncharacteristic for the way they've portrayed Sam of that era at this point, so
I don't know. We know that Sam is a good guy. You know, he's a womanizer and all this stuff. But he is a good guy. And you know that if he met a woman that had a kid, you know, yes, he thinks he could drink through his career, fine, and drink through a lot of relationships. But I think that Sam is the type of guy, and I want to give him this credit. He's the type of guy that says, oh, I'm going to hang out with this girl and her daughter. I'm going to cut it out. And I think that he would dry out for those occasions and probably be a fantastic uncle.
Yeah, perhaps you're right.
I don't think it's outside of the realm of possibility. I think it still can fit in with this I mean, the character of Sam Malone is a mythology unto himself. I mean, he dated scores of women. He put numbers on the board that Wilt Chamberlain can't touch. But if we're going to go ahead and make him this mythical figure, I think we can also say, okay, during this period, even though he's at the height of his drinking, he was cleaning up and being a good person in front of this child. I could see that.
I guess, yeah. That's not so unbelievable. You kind of convincing me. Okay. It's different than
it's
the picture
that
it's different than the picture I had in my head, but it's not. Yeah, I can kind of see it. And at this point, before the Judy and Laurie actually come in, Frasier comes out of the bathroom now with a different spring in his step as he's like enjoying the new underwear. He's like, "Lilith, I have only one thing to say to you: Vive la différence." <He's> like, Rebecca comes back in quite mad now. She's ticked off and kind of like barking orders at Woody. And she's mad that the way the corporation treats her, the company, they're testing to see if she'll just quit. And Sam's like, "What is going on? What's happening now?" And she's like, "They want me to throw a party." Sam's like, "These people must be stopped." So she says that it's a party for some kids, like the corporate brats, the kids of like all like the higher up executives and everything. So she needs to throw a party to entertain them. Implication, of course, being that her job security is on the line, and she needs to hire a clown. Frasier suggests, "Why don't you try Woody? He's an actor or a perennial understudy." I think it's the way he phrased it. So Rebecca asks Woody, he's like, "Would you do it?" And he's like, "Of course I would do it." And he runs and jumps up and down the hallway going, "I'm a clown, I'm a clown, I'm a clown." And it never occurred to me until this rewatch, but the way he phrases that, Frasier says the same thing later on at the house when they're doing the party. And I was like, there's something about the game. It's just like, "I'm a clown, I'm a clown." That makes him so excited.
It's always the part I wanted to play.
Yeah. That's...
One thing you did miss there, as Sam's getting ready for Judy to come, he's nervous that he doesn't know what he's going to look like, and he asks Carla to be his wife. He says, "I need you to pretend to be my wife." "Okay, give me all your money."
Yeah. He's like, "What are you talking about?" She's like, "I'm practicing." It's like, "I'm getting into character." And they do come in this next scene. By the way, Judy Marlowe is played by Sandel Bergman. People might remember her from Conan the Barbarian, as well as Xanadu, Red Sonja, and Airplane 2, the sequel.
Yeah, she has quite the filmography. She has been in a lot of different parts. Actually, all the guest stars on this one have a pretty impressive pedigree.
Yeah, yep. Because her daughter, Laurie Marlowe, played by Chelsea Noble, probably most people know her. She appeared in Growing Pains, where she met the actor, the star, Kirk Cameron. They end up getting married. And since then, like more recently, she was in the Left Behind movies based on that popular book series franchise. Yeah. So, yeah.
Okay. Infamous.
Infamous.
That's what I meant to say.
Yeah.
Infamous pedigree.
Certainly. Yeah. Of that time period. Yeah. And Sam sees Judy and obviously recognizes her and goes, "What a relief." And she's like, "What are you doing?" He's like, "Well, it's been 15 years and you look almost as good as I do, or just as good as I do," something like that. And then he is really excited to see Laurie when she comes in, and then he's excited to see how hot she grew up to be. And he's like, "You used to be so, and now you're so, what are we going to do?" And everything like that. And there's this great little moment. Laurie is about to leave after she says hi, and Sam rushes up the stairs to stop her at the door. He's like, "Wait, where are you going? What's the rush? Why is my voice so high?" And he turns it back to say that to the group.
We also have one of the scenes from the 200th episode where Sam's looking at both of them and says, "Look at the two of you. Look at the three of us. Let's look at the two of you again." Yeah.
He basically, instead of just going out with the mom, he's like, "Why don't all three of us go out and do things together like we used to do back in the old days?" And the three of them leave together, and Cliff is like, "It looks like Sam is heading for trouble." And Norm's like, "Looks like kind of a fun trip, though, doesn't it?" Again, showing more of their attitude and why they remember Judy Patinsky and Judy Chang and everything like that.
These guys are the meme of the giraffe eating the popcorn. They're there for the show. Yeah. They've got front row seats to this.
Well,
they can't live it. but they can watch it being lived.
Yeah. Well, the previous episode before this, when they had to jump out of the airplane, Norm's justification was, if I can jump out of this plane and skydive, that justifies that I did do something worthwhile with my life, and therefore it gives him permission to do nothing for the rest of his life, except sit on the bar stool. It's like he accomplished his one good moment of glory. Now he's fine to just be the spectator and just see, where is this going to go? Let's watch how this plays out. So, we cut to, it's a few days later, presumably, and Rebecca asks Carla if she ordered the soft drinks for the kids' party, and Woody has his clown suit. He's like, I'm going to have those kids rolling around on the floor, and Cliff is like, rolling around and burping. Now there's an attractive image. So, Frasier mentions that he actually is envious of Woody, and, you know, making people laugh can be this healing art, and sometimes a clown can be more helpful than a psychiatrist. Carla's like, yeah, and you can fit more of them in a little car. Woody takes out his props and his joke book. He's got all these different things and everything. The first joke that they say doesn't really land so well. It's kind of a clunker, no. And they're dubious of how well this is going to he's going to work. But he's like, you have to integrate both the jokes and the props at the same time. Try this again. Mm-hmm. So Norm reads the joke book. Did you hear about the human cannonball? It's hard to find a man of his caliber. At which point, Woody honks a horn and sprays Cliff with water from the flower right in Cliff's face. Gets a laugh from the audience, of course, but also the characters like Rebecca, Carla, and Frasier in the background are all laughing a lot.
Yeah.
They do the second joke about, did you hear about the sword swallower who only eats pen knives because he's on a diet? Honk, and the flower sprays Cliff again. Even as Cliff is trying to dry himself off, they spray him in the face again. And I don't know if that, like, legit caught the actors off guard or something, but Kelsey Grammer looks like he's really legit laughing in the background of this. Like, the way they play off.
This is one of those moments where you can laugh. I mean, this isn't just a comedy. You are supposed to be laughing hysterically at him, and so everything that you've held up, let's just go with it. Let's laugh. This is hilarious. And John Ratzenberger sells it so well. He is a perfect straight man for this. Yeah.
And he gets fed up at that point after being sprayed twice that he takes the flower from Woody, and he's like, let's see how you like it. And they read the third joke. Did you hear about the tightrope walker who went nuts? They had to throw a net under him. By the way, these jokes are awful. The whole point is that these jokes are terrible. You need the water in the face gag in order to be laughing at this. So they do the third joke as Cliff is trying to get the flower situated on his lapel or whatever. And while he's looking down, Carla comes up with the hose, the spray gun, the drink dispenser, I was trying to say, and just shoots him right in the face with water from that gun. And it's just like, oh, that third one.
And that's got to be the point in time where just everybody loses it. And props once again to John Ratzenberger for not laughing hysterically himself, because you know that, I mean, his character has to be angry and upset about it, but I mean, just, it's perfect 1-2-3 punch. It really is.
Because Carla says something like, it does work better when you say it, or something like that. But it's like, no, the joke is, it doesn't matter what line they're saying. The point is, water in the face to an unsuspecting...
Water in Cliff's face.
Yes.
With anybody else there, it wouldn't have been as funny. In fact, it would have been, you know, almost mean.
Right.
You wouldn't do that to Norm. No. Carla would have killed you.
Yeah.
Maybe Rebecca. But no, Cliff, that's where the joke is. Yeah. That's where the humor is.
You could have done it to Rebecca once, not thrice.
Yes.
Not
three times. No.
Right. Sam, Judy, and Lori come back. Lori has to go, and Sam is like, gosh, kids are fun. He's like, I haven't so much. But Judy is upset that Sam keeps inviting Lori along with them. Not and kind of rightfully so. She wants just some time for the two of us, and Sam is like, yeah, you know, absolutely, you're right. You know, let's go on a date. I'll pick you up at 8. The whole night will just be all adults. And she has this line as she's like kissing him or something, like, caution, some scenes may be unsuitable for immature viewers. And Sam goes, I'll close my eyes. It's just a nice little bit. Then he turns back, and Carla is just kind of shaking her head in disappointment. He's like, whoa, what are you talking about? And she says, I remember what happened the last time you tried to pitch both ends of a doubleheader. And he's like, and he's like, is it really that obvious that I'm trying to date both of them? She's like, yeah, you're drooling. So, and he has this confession moment where he says, and I love the way he reads this line. He goes, I'm really attracted to Lori and I want to ask her out, but I don't want to stop dating the mother. It's like a real problem, you know? It's like,
you keep talking about the dumbing down of Sam. This is that fine plateau where any normal person would say, you know what? We want Sam to get in this trouble. We want him to either succeed spectacularly or fail horribly. We don't want the middle ground.
Right. And yeah, this comes into play later in the episode, but it's like, what is Sam's problem here? What is stumbling him? Oh, ethics, morality. That's the stumbling block for him. That's why he feels so unsure of his situation. It's like, cause yeah, usually Sam would be so comfortable, but it's like this time, it's like, maybe this is wrong. He's not sure what it is. So Sam, Lori comes back or whatever, and Sam says he's going to take her to the zoo. And
hold on. Before that, he asks Rebecca. Rebecca, is it okay if I go? Sure, you've been here for 5 minutes.
Cliff's like, zoos are kind of sad, you know? He's like, all those sedentary animals that can't move, can't run free, they just sit there and drink and shovel food in their face as Norm is putting nuts or pretzels or something. He's like, that's no kind of life. He's like... When he comes back, Frasier reminds Sam that he's trying to date his girlfriend's daughter. He's like, isn't there a little voice telling you, trying to tell you something? He's like, a little voice? He's like, your conscience? He's like, you mean like Jiminy Cricket? Frasier, okay. Yeah. He's like, if that helps. And Carla
says, well, I am hearing a voice. I am hearing a voice, but it's not from my brain.
And Carla seems to be taking Frasier's side, but she's like, no, 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 I'm just worried that he's going to blow it with both chicks. She's like, I don't care that this is wrong. I just don't want it to blow up in Sam's face. And Sam's like, I've handled trickier situations than this. And he says, remember when I dated those Henshaw triplets all at the same time?
Carla's like, one, Sam, that was when you were drinking like a fish. Two, that was one chick.
And Sam's like, what? He's like, yeah. we cut again. Frasier sitting at the bar, and his fingers are tingling, and his hands are numb, and his feet are cold. And he's like, either I'm having a heart attack, or the French underwear that Lil got for me is too tight. And he kind of stands up and readjusts. He's like, cancel the paramedics. It was just the underwear. At this point, Woody gets the call. The star of his theater group has a fever, so Woody gets to go on in his place. He's like, they tried to get him to go to the show, but he kept falling down. So he's like, I get to go on.
How much of a bad actor is Woody that they are trying to get somebody off their deathbed instead of calling Woody?
Now he has to tell Rebecca that he can't be the clown for her because he's going on stage as Mark Antony, and he does the line, friends, Romans, countrymen. And she's like, what are you talking about? And he goes, countrymen, people who live outside the city, you know, shepherds, farmers, ranchers. Like, that is not what countrymen means in that context. But of course Woody wouldn't get that. Of course Woody has the line memorized, but he doesn't know what it means.
No.
So, and she's like, no, you have to do this for me. Like, you made this commitment. And Frasier's like, well, you know, this really means something to Woody. This is what he's been working for. And she's like, shut up. And she's like, Frasier set her up for this disaster by suggesting Woody. So Frasier owes her a clown. And Carla points out, hey, Frasier, you said you were envious of Woody and that clowns do more good. And Frasier's like, you can't be serious. But they're like, yeah, no, it's got to be you. So they give him the costume and everything, the clown suit, and Frasier actually says, you want me to don the jester's motley? And yeah, this is when Woody says, it's got to be you, Dr. Green. It takes a big man to fill these shoes. And he holds up the oversized shoes. Now, at this point, I was like, oh, I've never made this connection before, but I had to look it up. Because concurrent with Cheers at this time, Kelsey Grammer was also widely known for doing the voice of Sideshow Bob on The Simpsons.
That's Right.
In which he was the sidekick of Krusty the Clown. His first episode, first appearance in this, is when Sideshow Bob frames Krusty for robbing the Quickie Mart. And the crucial piece of evidence that exonerates Krusty and condemns Bob is that Bob wasn't just wearing fake shoes, his feet were exaggeratedly large. And I'm like, wait a minute, was that a joke about this episode? Was that a reference to it? And I had to look it up, and no, that episode of The Simpsons actually aired in April of 1990, a full year after this one.
They could have gotten their inspiration from this episode.
Well, who knows, maybe, but yeah, that blew my mind. I was like, wait a minute, Frasier's a clown, Sideshow Bob, and I started thinking about that whole thing with the foot gag, and I had to look it up. I was like, no, The Simpsons actually came after this one, but that connection, I was just like, wow, I forgot about that. Rebecca whisks Frasier away with the clown stuff, and he's like, wait, Woody, I've never done this. I don't, like, what, do you have any advice? He's like, just be yourself. Like, that doesn't help.
No, don't be Frasier. He's somebody different than Frasier.
Which, at first he tries, I think, but, So Woody is about to leave, and he's like, he's sure that Frasier will be fine. He's like, the stuff is foolproof, squirting flour, the truck with the horn, the trick handkerchief. And Carl's like, wait, what trick handkerchief? You didn't tell us anything about that. And Woody's like, that's the best gag. That's the closer and everything. He's like, you pull the trick handkerchief, and your pants fall down. He's like, and underneath, I'm wearing this ridiculous underwear. And he pulls out that he's wearing this polka dot underwear. He's like, it's hilarious. And Carl's like, you mean that's the underwear that Frasier's supposed to be wearing right now? And he's like, oh no. He's like, I've got to warn Frasier. He's like, no, I don't have time. I've got to get to the stage. He's like, Carla, can you call Frasier and warn him? And Carla responds about the way everybody who is imagining Carla would respond. She's just very straight faced. She's like, of course I will. Of course I will call him. And then when
Norm might have called. Cliff maybe. Cliff probably would have. Most other people in the bar, 50-50 chance, 75% chance that they would call. Carla, there's zero. Maybe 1%. Maybe. Maybe she has got a good day.
Yeah.
No, this is perfect.
Yeah.
No.
Woody leaves, and Carla does everything except look directly at the camera. It's like as close as she can get to looking at the audience and just smiling and cackling to herself. And then we get another, we cut to actually this residential town in Boston, residential house in Boston, where we have all of these kids at this party and Frasier in the clown costume. And this is another clip from the 200th episode. They're like, everybody say hi to Binky, and the kids, hi Binky, and Frasier holds his hand up like he's a crossing guard. Like, it's just like this hand, like, straight, nothing natural, so mechanical, no smile on his face except for the makeup. Looks like a Joker henchman or something like that. And he's just standing there.
Petrified.
Petrified. And Rebecca's
do
like,
do your act, Binky.
Binky, do your act. He's like, I don't have an act, I'm a psychiatrist. It's And then she's like, well, show them your feet. He's like, look at my big feet, kids. It's like, my feet are so big because my mother was a goose. And he honks, and just dead, no laughter. And Rebecca just apologetically turns to her boss's wife, and she's like, the real clown was killed. She tells him to do the trick with the flower, and he accidentally squirts Rebecca in the face, and the kids laugh, and he's like, hey, that actually worked. I got the response that I wanted. He's like, you want me to do that? He squirts Rebecca again, and this is the point when Frasier starts dancing around going, I'm a clown, I'm a clown, I'm a clown. I'm like, that's exactly what Woody reacted. There's something about this that everybody just wants to do that. Cut back to the bar. Sam comes in. He tells the guys, like, I was at a restaurant with Judy and Lori. The mother reaches under the table, touches my knee, and says, Sam, I want you. Then Lori, the daughter, touches my other knee and says, Sam, I want you too. And they're like, then what happened? He goes, then I woke up. He's
like, you even dream better than we do.
So he's like, this means that Frasier was right. My conscience is getting to me. And then he's like, you don't think I'm developing scruples, do you? And they're like, no, no, no. For good, Cliffy's like, stop talking crazy like that. And they're all, and Carla's, he's like, no. He's like, I gotta, you know, come clean and break this off with the daughter. I can't let this go any further. And Carla's like, Sammy, I could weather this, but the guys, they look up to you. They're like, don't dash their hopes. And Norma's like, I was gonna tell my grandkids about this, a mother and daughter. Lori comes in. She wants to talk to him about something personal. She's like, my mom doesn't know I'm here, but there's something that I've got to ask you. So he's like, okay, hang on. And he goes back to the guys. He's like, hey, any thought about the scruples? He's like, forget about that. This is fine.
The scruples have gone to the shower.
Yeah. He's like, yeah. So he goes to talk to Lori and he takes her hand. And that's when he notices that, hey, you've got an engagement ring. And she's like, yeah, I want you to give me away. And he's like, you little lie one. perfectly done. And yeah, she wants him to give her away and everything like that. And she's like, thanks, Uncle Sam. And she's like, he's like a young you. And Sam was like, oh, thank you. That's what I want to hear.
And I can't wait to give you away.
This great little moment. She's like, thanks, Uncle Sammy. I love you. And he's like, yeah, whatever. He just can't, like, so dismissively pushes her away. And he comes back to the bar, and he's apologetic. He's like, I'm sorry, guys. I let you down. They're like, no, no, no. The important thing is you tried to do the wrong thing.
So, that's it. He tried.
Finally, we go back to the party again. Frasier as Binky the Clown is a big hit at the party. The kids go to eat cake or ice cream or something like that, and the hostess of the party, she comes up and she wants to thank Binky. She's like, you did a great job. And he's like, well, I have a confession. He pulls off the hat and the nose. Like, I'm really Dr. Frasier Crane, practicing psychiatrist. Clowning is my avocation.
Well, hang on. Before you go too much farther, the lady who comes up and talks to him.
Oh, yeah.
Played by Patricia Morrison.
Mm-hmm. I think best known for Kiss Me, Kate, but like tons of stuff, especially from the 40s, 50s, and 60s, yeah.
Yeah, apparently she had the longest hair in Hollywood for a time being.
Mm, wow.
Yeah, it was like her claim to fame, and apparently she just was right below that mega star level, and she never had that one thing to really kick her up, but she was in tons of stuff. Yeah, she is a pretty amazing actress.
Yeah. And then Rebecca tells Frasier how lucky they are because Woody having the grace to actually check in on them about the handkerchief, and she mentions that, you know, if he had pulled that, everyone of his pants would have gone down, everyone would have seen him wearing those skimpy French underpants. Frasier's like, I took off the French torture device that Lilith got me. He's like, I've been doing this al fresco. And they kind of laugh, and then the woman, Patricia Morrison's character, Mrs. Ridgeway, comes back in. She's like, I would like you to meet my elderly mother. And Rebecca and Frasier walk right out of the room, right out of the shot, but you can kind of hear them cry. And we hear a sneeze, and Frasier's like, oh, I'm so sorry for that. Here, let me give you my handkerchief. Pulls it, and we hear the, no!
Frasier! Ah!
the screaming. And then as it cuts to black, we hear more fully of somebody hitting the ground, and it's like, mother, she caused her to faint. But
that's it, just dead black screen.
Yeah,
punchline out, nothing, just that strong punchline. It's like you see it coming, you see it, when's it gonna happen, is it gonna be in front of these kids, no, it's just off screen, and he even knew about it, just was told about it,
right?
Brilliant.
Yeah, that's the Chekhov's thing. We knew that those had to go down, and assuming the joke would be that he was wearing the thong underwear, but nope, he was actually naked underneath, and when they go down, causes an old woman to fall down and collapse and faint. Before we get to the superlatives, any other thoughts about this one? Again, just a really funny, really memorable episode.
Again, this is one, was watching it to refresh my memory of it, was watching it with my wife, and she's laughing hysterically the entire time, too. I'm like, okay, it's not just me, this is funny. This is just a generally funny, goofy little episode. Absolutely nothing relevant to anything. There's no mythos of the Cheers gang that's going on. It is days in the life of what's happening at Cheers and what's happening with these people. That's it.
Exactly. Yeah. Norm had 4 beers this episode, which brings him up to 626 for the season, or for the series, sorry.
Fantastic.
Yeah. Who's your employee of the week?
I think I mentioned, I was watching this with my wife, and I was writing down notes, and I said, who do you think the employee of the week is? And she said, Carla. And I was like, not Carla. But then I thought about it, and I thought that it was a very inspired choice, and I went with it. She is the linchpin of all of the jokes, and she is the protagonist of all of the action of this episode.
Yeah, interesting.
She's the one who, like, really pushes Frasier that he's got to put those on. She kind of helps out with that. She's the one who gets Frasier to be the clown. She is kind of pushing Sam to, like, you know, you have to keep doing this. You have to keep pursuing this. But, you know, what are you doing? But she's the one who's kind of manipulating everybody in this episode. And she's a bit of the linchpin of most of the jokes in this as well, especially the final joke itself where, you know, she doesn't pass on the information. Woody eventually mm-hmm. does. But just we are waiting for this because we know that Carla would never call. And it may not be – she may not have the best lines or the best – action in this, but I'm going to give it to Carla because she actually is the reason this entire show works the way it does.
She's very crucial in her very limited spot, but yeah, no, that's interesting. I never would have thought of that, but kind of, yeah, I see it. That's funny.
I was running through everybody else and I could come up with good reasons for everybody else, but I thought that was just an inspired choice, and that's why I went with it. So thank you to my wife.
Yeah. I mean, I went with a more obvious choice of Frasier. Just because of, like, everything being the clown at the end, like, being responsible for, one, my home run of the episode, but also that whole, like, closing gag and everything at the very end with it, and to see him in the clown costume at all. But, and yeah, my home run for the, like, I mean, the whole bit with Cliff, with spraying water in Cliff's face, that whole sustained joke is priceless and amazing, but it just... To sum it up, it's just something so crystal clear that I've always remembered. It's just the very statuesque wave of the hand. And Binky, do your act. Like, I don't have an act. I'm a psychiatrist. Like, and maybe it helps because that was in the 200th episode clip show. But I've always remembered that line, and it still kills me just how almost defensive he is about it. He's like, what do you want from me?
I would have chosen that one too. Because you chose that one, I will choose the other one that I think is right up there, and that is that last moment of the show. Oh, my handkerchief. It's setting up for that one joke all the way from the beginning. That entire B story is setting up for that bit right there. And it works so well. So those two pieces right there, and then the clown bit itself. The clown bit is what sells this entire show.
Right.
Sam's entire storyline is the B plot. This A plot is... the clown and Frasier and Woody. Wonderful. Fantastic.
Right. And the other Frasier bit that I really liked, it was a little bit more subtle, was when he's first, like, thinking, he's like, either I'm having a heart attack or this underwear that Lilith got me is too tight.
It reminds me of the one bit where Norm is sitting on the bar stool and with Diane and comes in, and he's like, what's the matter, Norm? Oh, the underwear is bunched on me. Well, why don't you get up and just loosen it up a bit? I'll give it a couple more minutes. Sometimes they self-correct.
Oh, well, Rick, thank you very much for coming back on Cheers Cast. Where else can our listeners find you?
Me and my co-host, Jeff, who is an absolute clown of epic proportions, who brings his own clown shoes to every formal engagement. We do a little show called Unpacking the Power of Power Pack, where we review comics that have a member of Power Pack in them.
Awesome. Awesome. Very cool. Very cool. Thanks again for being on this episode. And thanks to all of you out there who listen to Cheers Cast and support the show by liking and sharing on social media and leaving comments on the website fireandwaterpodcast.com. You can also support the Fire and Water Podcast Network on Patreon. Cheers Cast is supported by the Right On Podcast Network and the aforementioned Jeff and Rick Presents Unpacking the Power of Power Pack. Go to patreon.com/FW Podcast to support your favorite show on the Fire and Water Network. Thanks everyone for listening, and until next time, we're closed.
Hi!
Minky, do your act.
I don't have an act, I'm a psychiatrist.
Show them your funny feet.
But I can't, I've got these big shoes on. Oh, I see what you mean. Yeah, of course. Say, kid.
What do you think of these feet, huh? I got such big feet because my mother was a goose. Want to hear me honk?
The real clown was killed.